It is Tuesday, November 28th, 2017, and no matter where you are, you're on Texas Standard Time. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us. Before the on-air light goes on, we spend a lot of the morning going through the news wires and papers, and sometimes in the course of that process, sometimes the stories will form a mosaic that suggests a theme that might be just over the horizon. Today I was reading in the New York Times, here's the headline, Senators race to pass tax bill by sweetening gains for the rich. Widening the gap between the rich and the middle class has been a keynote in reporting on the tax bill so far. Dig a little deeper, and what seems to be in play right now is whether to treat small business more favorably or change so-called pass-through rules for those businesses where profits are distributed to owners and then taxed at lower rates for individuals. Yeah, this sort of detail is not exactly friendly to the eyes nor ears, which tend to glaze over. But the rich getting richer and the poor getting pummeled? Yeah, people will pay attention to that. Here's where the mosaic effect comes into play. The Washington Post reporting that as Bernie Sanders continues to bring together groups to oppose GOP tax proposals, the technically independent Vermont senator will today unveil a so-called Marshall Plan for Puerto Rico. Against that backdrop, a report from Politico that Sanders is making moves pointing to another run in 2020. He hasn't announced his plans, but as the clock ticks down toward a likely end-of-the-year government shutdown, what ultimately happens with this tax bill not only could shape the terms of engagement for the midterms, but the presidential sweepstakes still 3 years away. So the House has passed its version of a tax plan. For more on where we stand with the Senate tax bill, John Diamond, director of Rice University's Center for Public Finance. Professor Diamond, thanks for joining us on The Standard.
Thank you for having me.
Biggest sticking point for the Republican holdouts. I mentioned small business. Does that seem to be it?
That's definitely one of the issues. I wouldn't say it's a widespread issue, though. It seems like only Senator Johnson is really making the case that the small businesses need to be treated more generously.
Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, Republican, what is it he was pushing for?
He wanted to see the deduction for small businesses increased from 17.4% to 20% in order to make the deal a little more favorable to small businesses.
Some other specifics, many nonprofits worried that both tax reform plans in Congress could hurt charitable giving. How so?
Now, this is a complicated one. So there's two issues at stake here. One is when you reduce rates, and also when you increase standard deductions, you reduce the number of people that itemize. So if you double the standard deduction, estimates are that the number of taxpayers that itemize would decrease by about 95% from basically 45 million to 8 million. So once people cannot itemize, they can't deduct their charitable giving. So that makes charitable giving more expensive in the sense that every dollar you give, you don't save 70 cents on your tax bill. You're now a dollar's a dollar. So that's one way. Also, if you reduce rates, you reduce the incentive to give, but by a smaller amount. And then finally, there's the estate and tax reforms. So to the extent that a lot of giving is done by the very rich, mm-hmm. at the end of their lives. If you repeal the estate tax and you maintain step-up basis, which is allowing heirs to value the assets they receive at the time they receive them, mm-hmm. rather than the time they were bought, all of those things would reduce the incentive to give contributions to charities.
Something that's in the House version, but not yet in the Senate bill, is a rollback of the Johnson Amendment. Can you explain what that is? This is something that goes back to 1954, I believe it is.
That's correct. So the Johnson Amendment is the rule that churches and charitable entities cannot be directly or indirectly involved in political campaigns. So, for instance, a pastor can't get in front of the pulpit and endorse a candidate or oppose a candidate directly.
This has been framed by a lot of churches in Texas, in particular, as a kind of gag on free speech from the pulpit.
Yes, and interestingly enough, when the law was passed, and it was strengthened under Lyndon Baines Johnson as well, but when the law was passed, it really wasn't about churches. It was, he had some opponents who were calling him a communist at the time, and for some nonprofit groups. And so they, this bill was expanded to cover many of those groups, but that's the nature of the bill, is it separates it. It says, if churches and other charitable entities are going to get this tax exemption, they're not allowed to take a side in the political fight, or they can take a side. They'll just lose their tax exemption.
You think the Senate's going to go along with getting rid of that long-standing amendment?
I don't know what the mood in the Senate is on this issue. My best guess is yes, they will.
One other final question. Why the race to the finish line here? You mentioned that, I mean, we're talking about something that usually, is a once in a generation kind of thing, tax reform. Why is this all getting done so quickly? Why not wait till, I don't know, the budget impasse is over and we're into January or February?
Well, the race is two reasons, I would say. One, that they haven't passed any of their other hallmark legislation this year, so you want to get something done. Two, they do view tax reform as important, and so they're passing it under this reconciliation process as an omnibus bill, and so it has to be passed this year. They have strict deadlines that they have to meet, or it will be pushed into January, February, in which case it won't be passed until the next legislative year.
John Diamond is director of Rice University's Center for Public Finance. Professor Diamond, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.